Hey, Demi, doesn't it feel like everyone kind of started running for president in the last 48 hours?
Oh my God, I'm late. Oh my God. I'm running for president too. Me.
You're running for president?
Vote for me.
Who's your running mate?
Oh God.
Someone you've worked with a lot. Someone you trust.
Anthony Trolley.
Okay.
Episode 318. It's happy birthday time.
Oh yeah.
Happy
it's birthday time.
She's gonna
happy get birthday, a baby. La la la. Giant Bubba. Pizza.
Oh my
yeah. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I was thrown off by the music.
By the music, I know. Well, I'll edit it out, but I actually restarted again on accident because after doing this 60 some odd times, we're still
learning the ropes.
I think that's fun though. We're teachable and we're like, you know, humble about it. Sorry, I just flung a cord at dear Demi, who just got in this afternoon.
And boy, are my arms tired.
Well, I didn't say fly.
Well, say it again.
I just said, okay, let me set you
say
up.
Say it again.
So this afternoon, Demi got in traveling by an airplane.
And boy, my arms tired.
I screwed it up again. Okay. This afternoon, Demi took an aircraft to the sky and rode in it as a passenger.
And tires are my arms, boy.
Not see, there you go. Finally, nailed it. This is a great episode to discuss, but before we get to it, we gotta give it up to the fans, man. We always gotta give it up to the fans.
It's all about them.
It's all about them. I'm wondering now at this point, like the people leaving reviews, if it's people catching up to the show who have like never heard it until now, like when we're recording this, which is April 2015, or if it's people that are like, they've been listening for a long time, they're like, you know what? It's time to throw my hat into the ring. I need to give some positive feedback.
Yeah. Or negative feedback.
Or negative feedback.
I need to put a stop to whatever this is.
We don't have that much negative feedback, and let's keep it that way, guys. I don't know why I'm inviting any sort of thing like that.
Well, if we got any haters, come out the woodwork right now.
Haters gonna hate.
I challenge you.
Oh, gosh.
I dare you, haters. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow. We did talk about, last time we did talk about how we want to ban certain rhymes. Do you remember this?
I do.
I said we should ban
thank you, review.
Thank you with review. Heaven and Kevin, seven.
That's it. Those are the only. It's Heaven, Kevin,
heaven
seven,
and hell,
11.
Yeah.
A lot of God talk.
Yeah. I mean, this is a Christian podcast, as Ben Seaman once pointed out. But, you know, let's stop dilly dallying around and give it up to the fans. You got a beat?
I do.
Okay.
In honor of the theme of birthdays, okay. Gotta go birthday song.
Okay. I don't know this.
Oh, you don't?
Am I about to?
No, you won't recognize if you don't already, but still.
Is it a song by Drake?
Oh, come on.
Greggy Paw,
you're the raw. You're so good, man. Reviews are cool as all hell. Oh, me, 1989, you're fine. You're divine. You rhyme like on time. I don't, though.
Brit loves cheese. Please, you got me on my knees begging for more. Oh, you score. Some jerk left a review as month orange, but we know that nothing rhymes with orange. F-U.
Genova Arimandaris. I'm sorry if I messed up that name. It's Hari to try and pronounce a hard name like that. So I'm going to say, sorry about that, man. Oh my gosh, it's Cat. That's fat. That's really dope that you said that. Thanks, Cat, for the review. It's really cool.
Irving the Accountant. Have you read The Fountain's Head by Ayn Rand? Oh, a stud 13. You are not mean, you are nice. Kevin and Demi. 69_420.
Nice.
Who left that review? Because I want to say... Oh, no, I can't remind him.
Oh, your own rule gets at you.
Lou and Tulip, I want to kiss you on the lips, but not in a creepy way. Just want to say, hey, thank you. Thank you for reviewing us in such a nice way.
Captain Libs, I call dibs on taking you out for beers and ribs because you're really cool. We'll go to the Dancing Fork. That's the next reviewer. They are Tony Stark. Just kidding.
Tony Stark.
He leaves the babies. And he's Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just go.
Ginger Spicy. You are so mother effing nicey. And then Momo13. You are not mean. Oh, dang it. I keep doing
you keep
thin
doing
and mean.
Mean.
Dagnab. Henny Anna. Did you vote for Obama?
Oh, or Benihana, maybe. Steven Bean. Keep it clean. Don't be mean unless you did. That's fine with me. He agree. 1985. You're alive. Like Johnny Five. All right. K. Ziggy Hall. Let's go to the mall. I'll buy you some snacks. Maybe a pretzel at Auntie Anne's.
Hey, this is just coming man to man, but I want to give a special shout out to Laurel Land. Not Lorelei, though that's fly. If you're a guy, a Gilmore guy. Hey, my name's Kevin and I cry. Why Maine's? You're insane, like Lou Dane's beef romaine.
Oh.
And then the last name on this list for you tonight is Tracy Loeffler, and she did it right. Felt good.
That did feel good. That did feel good. That felt just good.
That's right. Woo.
I messed up.
I feel like I roll my R's as kind of a... It's like a vocal tick.
Oh my God, I'm really bad at it.
That's like an underwater lion. Here's my impression of underwater Lion King. The sea Lion King.
Here's my impression of underwater Lion King. Help! Help! Help!
I'm a lion. I shouldn't be in the sea.
What natural mistakes have led me to this path? All right.
Oh, man. Well, guys, let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 318. Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday, baby.
Woo! The Netflix synopsis for this episode is, while Lorelei deals with the rebuilding of the fire-damaged inn, Rory schemes okay, to give her mom a great party, complete with a gigantic pizza.
I feel like scheme is a word that's just like she's crawling around like the Pink Panther.
Like, hey, guys, yeah, it's too creepy.
She's pickpocketing people. No, she's just hiding things poorly.
Yeah, I can't imagine Rory scheming really about anything.
No.
It was written by the woman herself, Miss Amy Sherman-Palladino, and directed by Gail Mancuso. And let's open up the discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every single pop culture reference, or as many as I can pick out, and put them in a supercut and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 318. Happy birthday, baby. Pop Goes the Culture.
She used to sleep on her back for a month, otherwise her face will flatten like a crepe.
Oh my God, it's Brazil.
I feel so rich. And suddenly in complete agreement with everything Bush has to say.
Dick Van Dyke can do it, so can Luke.
Last night when we watched Ed Wood, we got burgers like you wanted to.
Yeah, the cleanup version of the Eminem show seems to be selling pretty well, so the world is basically coming to an end.
This is not Gangs of New York now with Cameron Diaz. This is Gangs of New York 20 years ago with Meryl Streep, as Scorsese originally imagined it.
George Foreman Grill. That's like 150 pairs of Jimmy Choo's.
That is the jacket that Joe Strummer wore during the 1979
I've got
Pearl
so much
Harbor
to say about
tour.
This jacket. No.
Somehow I can't picture Meryl Streep with Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's making the year of the Macarena look inspired.
You can send over a couple of Oompa Loompas to kick the crap out of Antilla.
Pay back a loan. You're supposed to pay back a loan. I have Polonius and the entire banking system on my side.
Kirk wanted to hire the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play a concert in the square, but I said, hey.
Saturday Night Fever and Ty.
Bing a bong a Burbank.
Lorelei, you think I'm really flawed.
And a band.
I know California.
I pulled out the old Time Life series. I know Tony Randall and Renee Estevez.
Do you Yahoo?
I got the video for it.
What'd you get?
Almost Famous.
That's the most dated reference
so far. I can't help it, I'm addicted.
I can't help it. I'm addicted. Oh, I'm so charming.
When they said, do you Yahoo, I instantly remembered I was watching a show from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
It was just like a whoa.
I mean, that is one of my favorite all-time Jess lines.
Do you Yahoo?
Do you Yahoo?
Like, he's so mad.
Yeah.
But he's talking to his girlfriend.
How about you Bing it sometime?
Do you Google? Boo, 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 boo.
Okay, one thing I had to... This isn't... I guess it's not pop culture specific, but it's something that came up in the supercut. So Jess and Rory are like, okay, we're going to watch this movie and eat this kind of food. We're going to watch this movie and eat this kind of food. And of course, Jess is obsessed with Almost Famous because all deep 17-year-olds are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's...
One day you'll be cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
How old are you, 15? Me too. But it did make me think, this is a little off topic, but it just did make me think about what modern dating is like. And okay, so they're a couple that's been together for a few months. And they're just like picking movies and then picking different kinds of food to eat. Is that most dating nowadays?
It's the equivalent of hanging out when it's like you've been together for a while. It's like you just want to be together. You don't have to do anything extravagant.
Right. You're not romancing them. You're not trying to woo them. It's like you're secure.
You're spending time.
So you're getting comfy. And I wonder if that, I was just thinking about that today, like if that exists more with Netflix and how prevalent, like, anything you want can be. And, oh, let's get a pizza and binge watch Breaking Bad or House of Cards or whatever.
Right.
But it was just like, yeah, I guess that's what a lot of relationships are. I was thinking about that, like, what do married couples do? I mean, I guess they'll have, like, date night, but I would assume it's a lot of TV. And most married couples I talk to are like, oh, yeah, we've been watching, like, Veep or whatever.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Like, they pick a show and that's their thing.
Of course.
So it just made me think about, like, how domesticity and comfort is often tied to, like, watching TV shows and movies and staying in and being gross. You had thoughts about the Joe Strummer jacket?
My thoughts are basically in the fact that, what, this guy's name's Tobin?
Tobin, as played by the great Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, Bruce McCullough. So... he starts off by saying, I just saw this somewhere, and I, like, I know I already got you a gift, but I just saw this somewhere, like, passing by, and I thought, oh, this is totally Lorelai. Where was he just passing by that he saw this celebrity jacket?
Joe Strummer's funeral.
Oh, it's like, I just saw a procession in the park, and they were carrying this jacket, and I had to have it for you. But I was just like, that was my biggest problem with it, and also just, this is clearly an expensive jacket. Either the night manager is making way more money than Lorelai is.
He's got connections, bro.
I guess. If he knows, like, Tony Estevez or whoever those people were.
Yeah, Tony Randall and Renee Estevez.
That's what it was.
Who's Tony Estevez?
That's their baby.
Oh, that's fair. That checks out.
Yeah.
Other pop culture stuff. I like how much Luke hit the Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompa.
And Yahoo was super dated. Let's play it again.
Do you Yahoo?
I really wish Kirk had managed to get the Red Hot Chili Peppers into town.
Glendale.
The target there is much better.
Stars Hollow.
You took the 405 down to Hartford, then you stop at Al's Pancake World and get a churro.
Get a churro. They probably sell it.
Anything you want at Al's Pancake World. Oh, yeah.
Man, dude, this is a big Where You Feed, I Will Swallow episode.
Yeah.
Lot of food.
We're talking. Poor Kirk.
Poor Kirk with his cheese burns.
Yeah.
After trying to get the largest pizza in the world, or at least in the county.
Onto his car. When you see it, it makes that image of him trying to load a giant pizza onto a car
really
so much
funny.
Funnier.
I think it's better that you don't see that actual action. You just see him with the burns.
Yeah.
Like, in the...
I took a screen cap of that. It's going to be my new cover photo. It's so
oh,
funny.
Oh, good. Your new cover photo.
It's gotta.
Did you recognize that actor
who
was playing
the pizzeria owner?
Tony. His name's not John. Tony. Oh, it's Pete. Pete the pizzeria owner.
Yeah.
Now, he has been in Gilmore Girls before. He played the father in the short film by Kirk.
Oh, my God.
When he comes home, he's like, you want to date my daughter?
Really?
Yes, I want to date your daughter. Yeah. That's him.
Huh.
That's a guy named, the actor's name is John Polito. I really like him. Like, I feel like he's in everything. He's so recognizable. He's one of those that guys, I feel like, especially for TV.
Yeah.
But I found all of that plot to be delightful.
I loved it so much.
I found most of this episode to be very, very enjoyable.
I assumed that when Jackson came out and was like, how dare you do this to Suki, that it would be the kind of thing... Suki. Because it's not natural for me to say it like that.
Sucky and Dosey. And Deucey.
Sucky and Dosey. Dosey can suck it. No,
Ooh.
I assumed they would be like, we can't do this pizza. If only there was someone else. And then Suki would come out of the water.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty much, they didn't really follow up on that.
It
was just like, Suki's crying. I got a pregnant woman at home crying. And then no follow up.
It was unnecessary and an overreaction.
Yes.
Overreaction Jackson.
He's the famous overreaction Jackson. Everyone remembers that Disney Channel show, right?
Yeah, rest in peace.
Oh, did he did pass away, didn't he? Oh, that's sad. So there was a listener. There's been a few listeners, actually.
Wow.
That's the end of my sentence. There's been a few listeners. There's been a few listeners that have recommended to us the unauthorized Gilmore Girls companion, and right. I can't believe I haven't picked it up until now. Right now I'm working off the Kindle version, but I will have the physical one soon here because it has all these like interesting behind the scenes notes, and there's different interviews with like Edward Herman and Kelly Bishop, so it's not like totally unauthorized. Right. Like I read on a forum, but it's like some interesting behind the scenes stuff. So for this episode, just speaking to the pizza, there's a really kind of funny anecdote in here about the pizza. Okay, so this is from a key set costumer, Valerie Campbell. She says, my favorite was the giant pizza. And she's talking about on-set pranks. I know it was only on screen for a split second, but it was just talked about so much. And then when it finally happened, .. Of course, what Campbell really remembers is the young crew member who took a dare to do a belly flop into that pizza.
Oh my God.
It wasn't a real pizza. It was made of foam, she says, but the tomato sauce and toppings were real.
So why?
I don't know, because it was just a wide shot.
Yeah.
So definitely didn't need
part
to be
real.
Part
of me even thought, oh, maybe it was composited in.
Oh, like, yes. A lot of people said, oh, it looks like a CG pizza, right. But it wasn't according to Val.
This was post-Matrix. They could have done that.
Yep. Anything post-Matrix, you can CG into anything.
Yeah.
So the last day of shooting that episode, we were all in the back lot. Obviously, if something had happened to this pizza, it would have been horrible. But this crew member got almost naked. He was in boxers, and he did a belly flop off the picnic table that was near Miss Patty's at the time. It was just the funniest thing, and we all thought he was crazy. Someone videotaped it, I'm sure. So if someone has video out there of an unnamed crew member from Gilmore Girls, circa 2003.
Belly flopping into a pizza.
Belly flopping into a foam/real pizza for some reason. It's both. Let us know. Tweet that out. But yeah, that comes from the unauthorized Gilmore Girls companion, which we will be referring to now a bunch, I feel like. Because even now, I've just like skimmed through some of it, and there's interesting anecdotes and tidbits and definitely stuff we're going to use in the future. But yeah, big Where You Feed Our Swallow episode, world's largest pizza. Lorelai eats two pieces of pie while waiting on Richard to get to their lunch appointment. She eats two Malamars on camera and then replaces them.
Entire bit with her and Luke was very Seinfeld-y, but very funny.
Well, which makes sense because they were both on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were both on Seinfeld. Did we talk about that before, how they were both on
Seinfeld?
I think
we mentioned it.
Luke was Spongeworthy and Lorelai was just another of the revolving doors of women out of Jerry's League. Yeah, I think we did mention it.
Yeah.
And then that scene, Luke beat Lorelai to the dirty.
I didn't bring my drill. Dirty, yes, I know.
Like, he's even getting tired of it. I'm not getting tired of it. That's not what I'm saying. But he was getting tired of it for whatever reason. Also, in this episode, they do end up eating...
mucho mac and cheese.
They had a big bowl of it. I don't know the context for that. This is after she gets the $75,000. And they're just picking out, like, what are we going to spend all this money
on? Oh, yeah,
on?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When they've got the tiara on.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that they ate in this episode?
I'm sure they ate something in Friday night dinners. But.
Yes. They did. Okay, so...
Johnny Machete.
Okay,
Machete,
so this is an actual... someone tweeted us the link. There's an actual recipe for this thing. It's a real thing. I'm actually not sure. I'm stupid, so we can get a billion corrections on Twitter like we did about all the hockey stuff today. but this is a real dish, but I'm not sure if it originated from the show and then someone made it based on what Richard was talking about or if it was pre-existing.
Yeah.
And then they just incorporated it into the show. But there is a dish called Johnny Machetes. That sounds pretty delicious. It sounds pretty good.
Not to Emily.
Even though Emily's not feeling it.
She's not having it.
But okay, everything about that teaser, dude, I thought was quite delightful. It was very uncomplicatedly adorable.
It was.
Right?
It was. It reminded me of Annie when they leaned in to kiss her. Mm-hmm. It was very like symmetrical and almost like they were going to burst into song and talk about how happy they were to have adopted her. It was great.
It was very Annie. I've never put that together. And that shot too, I think because it's so great, that does end up making the opening credits.
Really?
I think from season four on. It's funny to like rewatch this and being familiar with like the credit montages to come. And it's like, that's a credit shot. That's a credit shot. Like the scene where Lorelai is comforting Rory after Dean breaks up with her at the dance. That becomes a big credit shot in season four, I believe.
I also thought it was really cute how they were kind of like apprehensive to celebrate just because they were like, whatever's cool. We didn't want it. Like,
It was really cute.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Let's talk about, you know what I want to mention too? So we have Tom in this episode as played by the actor Biff Yeager. And I know we've drawn the comparison before probably a handful of times on the show.
To Matt Stone?
Wait,
who's Tom?
Tom is, you want boards, boards. Right. But he's the one that's like constantly over it. He's one of my favorite townies. He might be top five because he's just like, whatever. But
he's just here to build a thing.
It looks burned.
Thank you. How long to make it not look burned?
Geez, maybe two.
Tom, let me help you out. The answer I'm looking for is 10 days because that's when I have to get guests back in here again.
Okay, 10 days.
Are you lying to me?
What's the answer you're looking for there?
Never mind. Just go fast.
Go fast, huh? Never heard that one before.
But, so this was pointed out to me, to us, I should say, by listener Abby Austin on Facebook. I don't know if you guys have already talked about this, but Tom, the contractor, also plays a handyman in Parks and Recreation.
Really?
He's the guy who Leslie and Ben bribed to keep their relationship a secret. You remember at the fair for Sebastian?
Yeah.
And they like try to pay him off. And she says he essentially plays the same townie in two already similar universes. The actor's name is Biff Yeager. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. And then also in this episode, and I'll spoil it, he does come back in future episodes at least one more time. We meet Tobin. Tobin. What are your thoughts on Tobin?
I can't believe that three seasons in, we're just now learning about this guy.
The night manager.
Who apparently, I don't know. But I think he's very perky and quirky, and he seems like he's a good fit for an inn, but it's also so weird how he is, loved by Lorelai for going the extra mile in everything he does, mm-hmm. but also hated by Michelle for some unnamed reason.
They have a rivalry of, this is the only time you ever see Michelle fight at all
right.
for Lorelai's affection. So that's a really weird dynamic.
Although it's
see.
So weird because I feel like Tobin's not really fighting back.
You don't think so?
It seems
you think he's kind of oblivious.
Yeah.
He's like, I also thought of something. Yeah, you're right. He probably wasn't doing it on purpose. Someone on Twitter suggested that Tobin and Michelle went through a breakup. And that's what it stems from.
It's possible.
It's not canon.
Michelle could be bisexual.
That's
when
true.
When he's beating the ladies off with a stick.
You had me at beating the ladies off. I just want to... Something about it struck me really funny upon rewatching this and revisiting the character of Tobin, but I really loved him. I thought he was super funny and just super weird and interesting.
I thought he was funny, but all I could think is that, if this were a real person, I'd probably hate him.
But lines like...
You know what? I hate to say it, not being a B&B man myself, but Michelle is making sense.
Get off my side immediately.
Michelle is making sense.
Michelle's responses to everything he said were incredible.
She's like, die, shut up.
It's so wonderful to smell like a dead guy.
Michelle is making sense.
I also love when they're like, who is Joe Strummer? And it's like, he's from The Clash. That's a band. He's like, I know what a band is.
So good. So yeah, I really love Tobin. Bruce McCullough nails it. We need more Kids in the Hall and everything. We need more Dave Foley, more Scott Thompson, more Bruce, more Kevin McDonald.
Trevor Moore.
That's That's the whitest kid.
God. I had some sort of kids.
Lorraine Newman, John Belushi, Mo Collins.
And Ann B. Davis as Alice.
Yeah, love the Tobin and Michelle dynamic. Here's what's weird to me about Luke's gift is he says, oh, I'll offer you 5 free hours of labor. Doesn't he already do that all year round anyway?
All the time.
It's just a formality.
It's really just he won't complain about it this time.
Yeah, pretty much. Even though he didn't come... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like that... Or I think it's dumb that she uses one of her... like she uses her time to essentially get a spoon pulled out of the drain.
Yeah. You don't really see anything... Elsa does. Someone, I forget who, but someone on Twitter suggested, like, how much fanfic do you think is, like, written around the dynamic of Luke fixing things around the house and Lorelai's?
Like 90% of it.
Oh, I have a... What did Suki say in that first season with Jackson? I have a bird in my attic.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? Or a bat in my attic? Something like that.
I think it was bat.
Rory continues to be an amazing friend to Paris and encouraging her to get up off the mat after the big loss of not getting into Harvard.
Despite not really, like, Paris does not act back in any way. She doesn't deserve the niceness. No offense to Paris.
I know, because you love her.
My love. My lighthouse, my rock. Paris.
Sure. So Rory says, oh, do something, be adventurous, do something crazy, blah, blah, blah. And then she gets her little nose pierced.
Oh, my God.
Like, has an injury, I guess.
Yeah. Get it together, Paris.
They don't really follow up on that.
How do you, though?
Someone on for the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Someone asked, Emily Keller asked, is the 22.8 miles moment the most likable Jess has ever been? This is when, that's when he says, do you, Yahoo? And he says, like, oh, it's 22.8 miles from here to Yale.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, you looked it up on Yahoo, blah, blah, blah. And to which I say, no, I find it more likable than other
There was
scenes.
Another moment. I think there was, was it 306 that I was remarking that Jess was completely likable in an episode? I don't know. He was more likable in this episode than usual to me, I think.
Yeah, he didn't do anything terribly D-baggy. He just... annoyed me like usual.
I love Almost Famous. I'll need to go to school because the history teacher's the gym teacher. He got points to me for Almost Famous, kind of, but also it's very cliche. Like, I'm young and I just discovered this movie about being young and just making it, you know?
But do you ever go, this is such an immature thing and I don't encourage anyone to practice it, but do you ever find out that someone likes something that you also like? They like a song or a TV show or in a movie you like. And because of who that person is, it makes you like it less. Has that ever happened to you on any level?
Probably. Although I can't think of any situation now. I feel like it doesn't make me like them less. It makes me just think, huh, maybe I need to expand my musical taste or whatever. Like, yeah. I'm always just like, oh, I thought this was cool, but maybe it's not.
If Jess likes
it. I'll still like it, but I'll just be like, I know this is shitty. And I'll be like, right. No, that's a popular song. It's like, no, I know this guy likes it. It's shitty, but I love it.
I know. And that's probably an immature thing on our part.
For sure.
At Clown Pillow. Man, there is something creepy happening on Twitter, guys. Yeah. The Clown Pillow.
I'm afraid we're going to get a Clown Pillow in the mail. Please don't send us a Clown Pillow.
Please don't send us a little clowny, a clowny from a townie. But Clown Pillow on Twitter, and we're of course referring to the Clown Pillow that Amy Sherman-Palladino actually owns and can be seen in Lorelai and Rory's living room.
And in Bunheads,
apparently. And in Bunheads as well. Clown Pillow asks, what would you get Lorelai for her birthday? I'd hope for a lady Clown Pillow. I'm so lonely. What would I get her? I don't know. Not a gift card.
I'll just let the town deal with it because she's their queen,
she's
apparently.
She's the queen.
They literally throw her like a carnival. It's insane.
That's the thing. So a lot of people ask, like, just like the economics of it all, because this is a, you know, this is a big money centric episode because Lorelai gets $75,000 from Richard, and someone asks, do they need $75,000 if Rory can afford to get the largest pizza in the world or whatever? And then my thought is, they're probably all doing this for her for free.
For free, for sure.
Pete's
because
like,
the entire
for Lorelai, anything. Yeah.
For our queen, you got it. If we don't, she'll cut off our heads. So, But to answer the question of what I would get Lorelai for her birthday is, I would offer her five free pranks.
Five free pranks?
I'll help her prank five people in the town, or ooh, five times.
Are we talking
and
like...
it'll be expert pranks.
Okay, not baseball stealing pranks, not no. chalk line outside the market pranks.
Like I'm talking
real pranks.
Casually moving things in Luke's diner to the point that he becomes like psychotic about it, and then it's like a psychological breaking down of him.
Damn
and
it,
move them all back one day. Moving everything 1 inch over every day until he's like, this used to be so much farther, and he gets used... He gets so used to doing things 1 inch away that when we push it back 2 inches, he's thrown off again. Then we push it back the other day, the other way, 3 inches, and so forth and so on, and he will never notice.
And he just starts shaking.
He just starts shaking.
I'm losing my mind.
Speaking of losing his mind.
Raise all the doorknobs just a little bit higher. That kind of stuff. Speaking of losing his mind.
Losing his mind with Nicole and her parents.
Oh my god. Yeah, he was losing his mind, but also her parents are just, they're kind of awful.
They're not fun. No. They're not fun people. And by the way, Nicole's hair vacillated from nice looking to ew.
Really?
In the first scene when they're in the diner, I'm like, all right, your hair looks normal. But then when they get to that scene with her parents, it's all like waving out like a Betty wig. I think that's what it's called. I could be wrong. Wig. But yeah, her and her dad debate law stuff. Isn't that so fun? It's not fun. And Luke's just kind of sitting there like, yeah, okay.
I feel like Luke's outburst was a thing that could have very easily just been like, sorry, I take care of my nephew and blah, 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 blah. And if that was like still, they were like, that's, I don't care what you said is unacceptable. Get out. And be like, oh.
Yeah, it was kind of an easy fix, but yeah. They didn't go that route.
But even if they did, it'd be like, like if the parents are still just like so weird about it, it'd be like, oh, well then I don't want to talk to you guys anyway. Never mind.
And speaking of hair, what happened in between the last episode where his hair looked perfectly fine and this episode where it's looking super Nick Cagey again?
He woke up.
he woke up like this. But you know what I'm saying? Like in the last episode, it looked like nice and right. Cut and it was clean. And then in this one, it's not a good look. Sorry. Sorry, Luke.
Speaking of good looks, shall we?
Oh, sure. Fashion. What you got?
Rory at the dinner has this sort of like Romeo and Juliet looking blouse with like almost puffy sleeves, short sleeves. I mean, that's very normal for her, but I feel like they dress her up almost like that just to be like, she's so young and innocent and free and beautiful. And it's like, okay, but she's 19 now, so...
Well, she's 18 now.
Isn't she 19? Because if Lorelai's 35.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know which order their birthdays are in, so maybe she's still 18.
Yeah. Well, because I would just think she's a senior.
Yeah.
And seniors are usually
17, 18. She should be 18. Yeah. But.
Oh, but maybe she's not. I know. So Lorelai turns 35 in this episode. I think that's all right, continuity-wise.
Yeah.
The only fashion things, I wrote down the hair stuff, but... we already talked about that. Jackson's outfit was a nightmare. The beanie and the khakis and the sweater.
He looked like the robbers from Home Alone.
He totally did. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then I liked Lorelai's outfit and her meeting scene with Richard, all right.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was nice looking. We talked about hair. Anything else you got?
Michelle wears these like long sleeve Henley tees that make him like in my head. I imagine him being the bachelor, and it's just like, hello, ladies. I've dressed up today, and we are going horseback riding because it is what I did in my homeland. And I want to see if the woman that I pick, she's got to love horses as much as I do.
You know what? He'd still be more likable than Juan Pablo.
That's very
true. Much. Oh, man. I think that's all the fashion stuff.
Lane's got this like Woodstock style like flowers on her lapel.
They love flowers. Jacket.
They do. I think that's really cool. This is very duty of me, but like very dude-ish of me. But I don't know if Suki's skirt matches. Suki's skirt matches.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Are we talking about her scene in the inn?
In the inn.
Yeah. Her scene in, not E-N-D.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the end, it doesn't even matter.
I tried so hard.
But got so far.
In the end?
It doesn't even matter.
Doesn't even matter.
Lorelai at one point has this god awful snake shirt that she is wearing Where is she wearing it? To one of the dinners, or she's wearing it somewhere I was like, this is probably inappropriate, but also
dirty.
Dirty. I think that's about it. Yeah. All
right, that's the fashion report. Fashion. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys. That felt good.
Yeah.
So we touched on it before, but there's the meeting scene with Richard. He has his secretary try to set it up, kind of. By the way, his office looks totally different than the one she moved him into last season.
He's got like 20 cars on his desk.
Yeah.
It's too many.
It's a very generic looking office. It's like
Lil Jay Leno.
Hey, folks, how you doing? I'm Lil Jay Leno.
Lorelai, you gotta have lunch with me.
You seen his headlines?
I tell you, lunch at this place, it's good.
Conan had a reservation here, but I bumped him.
Is this the most impression-heavy episode we've done yet?
No. I'd say Vin Diesel or...
That was an impression. He came by.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. This is the most impression-heavy episode we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they meet, and Richard exchanges with her. Not exchanges, but he gives her a check for $75,000 because he celebrated her birth by making an investment.
Right.
she accepts it and immediately talks about all the Jimmy Choo's she can afford now.
Yeah, this episode brought to you by Jimmy Choo's for
sure. Brought to you by Jimmy Choo's. And so that's where it stands now. She's gotten a big old check. And then we find out later in the episode, even though her and Rory are discussing it over the Mucho Mac and Cheese, that she ends up paying back the debt owed to her parents.
Right.
And she gives it to Emily at her birthday dinner, which is a big eruption of conflict. And this was the most interesting thing to me about the episode, because well, first of all, I feel like there's a big hole here, because remember the termites in season 2 and the loan she had to take out and co-signing that? That was like 30 grand. So I don't know if they didn't address it, and it's like, oh, I owe Richard and Emily 45 grand, and then the other 30 grand is going to that. I don't know what it is, but I feel like they should have at least mentioned it. That's from the episode Secrets and Loans, I believe. In loans. Okay, so she pays her back. She pays Emily back at the dinner scene, and it's problems. That's the biggest fight we've had, like, with the whole family in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You kept this from me, Richard?
I knew you would be upset.
You lied to me.
I had to give it to her. I was legally obligated.
You're also legally obligated to your wife.
Mom.
Don't you talk to me.
Now you're overreacting.
Don't you talk to me either.
Don't be mad at Dad.
Stay out of this.
I just...
Well, don't.
Mom, please. Just because I gave you this money doesn't mean we're never going to come over here again. We will come over. Maybe not every week, but there will be the occasional Friday night dinners.
No, there won't.
Grandma.
I don't need anybody doing me any favors. You are released from your obligation, Lorelai. Have a nice birthday, have a nice life. I'm going to bed.
So how did you feel about this? Do you feel like Lorelai should have done it in a different way? Like she picked the wrong moment, or she was too cavalier? She wasn't sensitive to Emily's needs?
I think that it felt like a very manufactured conflict. Like it felt like Emily was overreacting to me. I think that obviously she knew she was going to pay her back, and Lorelai literally never suggested not coming to dinners anymore. So it just felt like her jumping to that was her saying, my fear is that you're not going to come to dinners anymore, which I guess is a thing that she's fine to feel, but it seems rude for her to like jump at that and be like, how dare you? Like, mm-hmm. How dare you even give me this money? Like as she said, she knew it was a debt and she knew she was going to pay it back.
I think it's a leap and you're right in that, but it didn't feel manufactured to me. It felt pretty organic because as we've seen in the series thus far, Emily, falsely or not, equates money with love and kind of gestures like that. Like to her, love isn't a hug and I love you, Lorelai, and I value you and I accept you. It's like, oh, I've provided for you, you know, which I think is kind of characteristic of that generation as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about our dads. We've gotten Papa personal.
Want to meet about that on dad. The show.
Hug those dads. and so for Emily, it is a total overreaction, but it's a panic because all her power is being taken away, Frank Underwood style.
All her power is being drained from her.
Cause she
right through the bottom like a snake.
Oh.
Gutted in the Everglades.
Mm.
Pop-tarts.
I'm finally catching up on House of Cards. And there's legit a line where Kevin Spacey looks at the camera and says, there's two kinds of vice presidents. There's the matadors and the doormats. Which kind do you think I'm going to be?
The matadors and the doormats. Champagne for my real friends.
And real pain for my sham friends.
Power.
Amazing. Okay, so yeah, I loved this conflict. I really did enjoy this conflict because it felt like it was both out of nowhere but inevitable, which I think is a great way to like, it's a really hard thing to write, I feel like, where something is inevitable but also kind of surprising as well. Because it took me off guard too, even rewatching that. She was just like, what? No, blah, blah, blah. You know, and she did like kind of lose her mind and freak out, and then it made Richard freak out. And then Rory got mad at Lorelai too.
Yeah.
Which I think was kind of the biggest threat to the relationship. And it's, you know, I do see all the sides to it. I see how like, oh, Lorelai could have done it more in private and been more delicate about presenting the check and like, oh, by the way, this doesn't mean our relationship has to end or that I'm trying to cut ties with you.
Part of me thinks that Lorelai wasn't even thinking about that, though, mm-hmm. about the fact that that's why they go to dinners.
Right.
You know?
Because now it's just become part of their rhythm.
Right.
Because I guess think about the fact that for the first 16 years of Rory's life, their first line in the pilot is Emily says, like, is it Easter? Is it Christmas? You know, why are you over here?
Right.
It's so infrequent. And now it's just like every week, and we're so used to that, and they're so used to that. It should have been, yeah.
Maybe I'm so used to them being so used to that that in my head, Lorelai doesn't ever think about the fact that it's like almost counting down the days until she can stop.
Right. And then you do realize that at the end of the episode when she's like, it's been so hard for me to be in debt to my parents. Do you realize how difficult it's been? She's talking to Rory in the town square.
Yeah.
I don't. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult for her?
I don't know.
And by the way,
it doesn't seem difficult at any point.
Yeah. But also, she's using money that her dad, I know it's not technically a gift, but
right.
Without Richard, she would not have that money.
Yeah.
She's not exactly pulling herself up by her own bootstraps, you know? I mean, she has in a lot of ways, but in that particular moment, it's not like, oh, my debt is paid. I don't know. It just seems, I see how everyone's right and everyone's wrong, which is what makes the episode so interesting to me, I feel like. And I, you know, there's a lot of people that actually agreed with you, Demi, that the conflict was kind of like, oh, this is kind of out of nowhere and feels right. Like tacked on or whatever.
I wouldn't say tacked on. It just feels like an overreaction.
Oh, and it totally is. Where do you think this is heading with Nicole, with Luke's girlfriend, little redheaded woman?
I think she's going to want to get serious. They'll argue about it. Somehow Lorelai will get brought up, and that'll be the reason they break up.
Mm-hmm.
She finds out that Luke had her over one night, and she'll be like, I can't believe you didn't tell me that. That's a really big deal.
That's true. I mean, that is such a boundary, especially when you're dating someone.
It's just weird that you didn't mention it on the phone when she was right there, just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to bed. Lorelai's staying over tonight, blah, 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 blah.
Did you like when Rory, when the phone rings at Lorelai's house, and Lorelai's like, oh, is that for me? Is that for my party?
Yeah.
And Rory says, oh, it could be anyone. It could be Paris. It could be Lane. It could be Madeline or Louise.
When she said that, I was like, no.
No, it couldn't.
It could barely be Paris,
You have two friends. You have one and a half friends, yeah. Rory.
And Jess.
One and a half friends and a D-bag.
And maybe it's a wrong number.
Oh, you know what we missed on Where You Feed, I Will Swallow?
What?
The cake that she orders from Fran.
Oh, yeah.
From Sweet Little Fran.
That she wanted to be made of all frosting. That's disgusting.
I love how Fran's face constantly looks like she's saying, oh, my.
Yeah, yeah. Every time that she reacts to Rory, it's just like, what are you talking about?
Buttercream or whipped cream? Both. Oh, okay.
I just imagine that, like, talking to Lorelai for her must be this constant, like, what's happening? what are you talking about? And Lorelai's just like, never mind, you don't get my joke.
You don't get it, Fran. I love Fran.
She's great.
She's going to live forever.
I was about to say, it's good that she's still alive. It's good yeah. to see her.
Oh, you know what we also missed in the fashion report? Just a straight comment. Condom. Straight condom.
Straight condom.
I thought Jackson looked oddly like Quentin Tarantino in that one scene. He looked a little like Quentin Tarantino.
I'm a vegetable guy. You know that. You know that about me.
Do you see a sign that says dead vegetable storage?
Oh my God.
Dead veggie storage.
Do you see a sign on my lawn that says dead veggie storage?
Is that your Tarantino?
Do you see a sign on my lawn that says dead vegetable storage? Then why are you bringing dead vegetables storage. Up in here?
It sounds like you're doing the husband on Sex and the City.
Oh. I feel like I'm doing all the bad Jack Nicholson impersonations. Just like, that's showbiz, baby. Anyway.
You know, Jack Nicholson loves saying that's showbiz, baby.
Hollywood.
And then, of course, there's the whole plot line with Jess skipping school to go to Walmart, and Luke finding out about it, and finally not being an idiot about it.
And Jess really doesn't, he doesn't hide it very well. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is go inside, then come back outside. But he's like, nah, can't do it, gotta make a run now.
Do you like how the school is right across the street from Luke's?
Yeah.
And also his car is parked right next to the school.
Great parking spot, which means he must have got there early. And, yeah, how is it across the street? Although, I guess it was across the street when they did the dance marathon. But still, where do we never see this school.
Yeah, you don't really see except for, like, the pilot, which was shot in Toronto, I believe.
Toronto,
baby. And then Luke, I would assume they don't really say explicitly, hides Jess's car at the end of the episode.
It's kind of suggested. Or he's just like, I'm glad that fucking car is gone. So now he has to walk to school.
Which, by the way, Jess, Mr. New York City for 17 years, is like, I don't have a car. Oh,
how do I get around? I gotta call the cops.
Which I guess the Stars Hollow public transpo isn't like New York City, but it is pretty funny.
You probably have to talk to Kirk for a while.
He just sounded like such a jerk. I know he's not doing anything explicitly unlikable, but this line just cracked me up.
Because that's where I parked it.
That's where I parked it.
That's where I parked it.
And it's the way he says the end of the line.
I know, he kind of runs out of breath.
Because that's where I parked it.
That's where I parked it.
What else do I have on here? Oh, there's that classic line from Kirk.
Please don't say the C word.
God.
Kirk Severe Cheese Burns should be a band.
All right, we're Kirk Severe Cheese Burns. This is our number one hit shingle.
This one's called Belly Flop Onto the Pizza Pie. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hep Alien could do that.
It could.
Oh, also, I forgot to play the soundboard from the teaser when Richard and Emily are ecstatic and thrilled with Rory going to Yale.
Make sure and gloat over that dim-witted son of theirs who couldn't even get into Brown.
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 So fun.
When I come back, I'll teach you the fight song.
Oh, and I forget. Yeah, I'm forgetting all these soundboards.
Brown.
I, you know, for all the pizza talk, I forgot to play the number one hit pizza song.
P-I-Z-Z-A. I want a pizza.
Did I happen to say
I want pizza?
Should we just have this playing over the rest of the episode?
Why not?
Yeah, sounds good.
I really liked them talking about Lorelai not blowing out her candles and Emily just going, oh, I thought only children like to do that.
Yeah,
would you like just to bring that back? It's like, oh.
They were busting chops.
They were
hard.
Very much busting
which
chops.
Which was fun.
Yeah.
Ah, see, they got along for like 40 minutes of the episode.
There's
then
a
the
lot
last
of fun
five.
Back and forths on this episode that really don't go anywhere, but they're good to see.
Mm-hmm. We're still playing the song.
Creature. What's the name of that one dude who, when they were doing the Gangs of New York thing, was like, Cameron Diaz is hot.
Okay, so that is who you're talking about when you said Matt Stone. That's a townie, and his name is Joe.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Old Joe.
Pete, Kirk, and Joe, the Holy Trinity.
I remember him being in one of the earlier episodes, and I was like, that's so weird to give that line to an extra, because that guy's never going to come back.
Oh, yeah, because he was looking for, like, the salt or something.
Ketchup.
Yeah, or the ketchup, yeah.
So weird that I remember this.
My bad.
Yes. Yeah, you idiot. Did you think it was weird hearing the credits music in the middle of the episode when Jess runs to his car and, like, fakes out Luke?
Yeah, well, because it's not something we hear a lot. And, yeah. Of course, remember, like, this aired before the DVDs were out, because this was 2003. And so it wasn't like we were super familiar with what that cue was anyway.
Yeah. Because maybe it's just weird to hear it now because we hear it every single time we finish the episode.
Right. And just like it's weird to hear the la 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 yeah. Our theme song.
Right.
It's our theme song now.
Yeah. Gilmore Girls stole from us.
True. They pulled a Carlos Mencia. A Carlos Mencia. Let's do some more Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
You already did it, bro.
I know.
Okay, Esther McCrea asks, what giant food would you want someone to make for you on your birthday? A lot of build up here.
Sandwich.
Just a giant sandwich.
I will accept a bagel.
Okay, so just like a 6-foot sub from Subway.
No, you know what? Changed my mind. Lasagna.
I would love a huge ice cream cake that was built around me, and I had to eat my way out of it.
So if you get full halfway through, you just die.
Well, no, because it would melt.
Yeah, eventually, but you gotta account for the new volume of this large ass ice cream cake.
And also the fact that it will melt around you. So
you're getting
you will
real
drown.
Sassy about this hypothetical birthday situation.
Yeah. If you're gonna clown on me for choosing sandwich, I'm gonna tell you that you gotta know the difference between ice cream cake and just milk.
Well, at least my thing is cool. Yours is just a 6-foot sandwich.
If you recall, I changed my answer to lasagna, all okay, right? Okay, I'm on that okay. Garfield diet.
Oh, you hate Mondays?
But I love lasagna. I can't get enough of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Normal.
Maybe, you know what we didn't ever consider with Garfield?
What?
Maybe he just didn't like the main character in Dragnet. Or no, was that Friday? Oh, shoot. Now I have to look this dumb thing up.
No, you don't. Let it go.
No, Adele Dazeem. Let me see.
There's a lot of riffing in this episode. This is the episode where people are like, okay, half of this episode was maybe Gilmore Girls.
Wait, no. I disagree. We've been very much on topic.
Maybe it just feels like we've been blazing through.
We have been blazing through because this is like a really good episode. And so there's not like a lot of problems to talk about. I don't know.
I got some problems.
I think his name was Joe Friday. Yep. Anyway, well, that was a failed. That was a failed Garfield.
Well, I love Fridays and I love lasagna.
He hates Mondays and loves Joe Friday.
I'm trying to think genuinely, like, what is my favorite food? I honestly don't know.
I love pecorn, man. Some sweet, sweet popcorn.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck is pecorn,
dude? Short for popcorn. We all know that.
You Texas boys are so weird.
It's not just me.
Nicole's voice. Do you notice that her voice is like, it has like corners on her words? Like, it's like those ASMR videos on
corners
YouTube.
On her words.
It's like everything she talks is just like, you just hear like the clicking of her voice. It's very like delicate, and it feels like they're like videos of people just talking on YouTube that are a huge sensation. People fall asleep to them and just are fascinated to just listen to these women talk, because the way they talk is like sensory. Is in some way pleasing to the brain of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And her voice reminds me of that.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know how to describe it, but like corners, it just feels like it almost feels like she's licking her lips as she talks, even though I know she's not. It's just, you hear like a lot of.
I did not put that together. That's not something I noticed.
It's weird.
Hmm. Well, now I'm definitely going to notice it.
I feel like it's something that makes me like her more, because it makes her seem more
human.
Less human. Well, I mean, like, if it were just her talking, less human, but I guess.
I like my women like aliens.
Yeah. Bursting out of chests.
Have you seen Roswell, bro? Oswell, that's Roswell.
Investigate Area 51. No, it makes her seem more, not down to earth, but just like kindly and like almost just literally constructed to be a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. Because her voice is just this weird, pleasant experience. I don't mm-hmm. know.
Interesting.
Anywho.
Maybe I'll soundboard it for the next step. Lizzie Palmer asks, what would you buy with $75,000?
150 Jimmy Choo's. Duh.
Dumb question on my part. Yeah. Bad. My bad. No,
$7,500.
1,000. Did I say 100? I meant to say 1,000.
I think I said 100. Okay. $75,000. All right. Well, first things first. I'm the realist. No. I actually don't know what I'd buy with $75,000. I would buy a large velvet painting of myself and gift it to a friend on their birthday so that they would have to keep it.
Because
you can't throw away like a large painting someone gives you. That's just the rudest thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
I would buy people because everyone has a price.
That's cool.
Alfred Day. Oh, you know what? No, I won't do that question.
No, do it.
No, we already covered it. He says, I get that need to happen for the plot, but how unfeeling is Lorelai when she gives the money back? I don't feel like she's unfeeling, because she's like pleasant. She's not like, here you go.
If you know. I almost felt bad because she came to them just like, I'm really happy that I finally get to pay you back. That's how it felt.
There was a pleasantness to her. It wasn't like a bitterness or vitriol.
No, not at all.
I think she was legitimately ignorant. Yeah. Poop Doctor asks, why couldn't the CG people get the correct perspective on that pizza? Did drunk babies do the CG on this show? And as we found out from Valerie,
no one did the CG on the show. It's all no real CG. Life PD.
Mm-hmm. Although here's another interesting tidbit from the book. There's going to be a lot more of these. But for there were some signs in Stars Hollow that are computer generated, but one of the set designers said there's more hand painted signs on this show than there is on the average show, and it was really fun for them because they had to like hand paint a lot of the signs.
Yeah.
So for like Miss Patty's or the festivals or whatever.
I wonder what signs are computer generated because I haven't noticed any.
Neither have I. So it's pretty seamless, whatever it is.
Yeah. Did you like Jess talking about like trying to get Luke to go meet Nicole's parents, even though he's awful with parents?
Jess? Yeah. Oh, that Jess is awful with parents?
Just meet her parents. What's the big deal? It's like, you're like notoriously
bad. You suck
at
parents.
Yeah.
Why don't you Dr. Laura or someone else? That was his like one of his first interactions ever with Laura.
How's the brisket? Fun.
I hate everything for no reason. Matt Gibson. Yeah, that was ironic. I do like the dynamic of Luke and Jess giving each other guff, though. In fact, one line I really did want to, when Luke's like, don't skip school. Are you skipping school? Don't. You know, Walmart. And then Jess is doing his hair and Luke says,
you ever worry that if a bird flies into your head, it might never get out again?
Yeah.
That's a nice line. Oh, and then we didn't cover this, but there was that weird comment in the dinner scene from Lorelai.
No comment on my lesbian hilarity. My, how far we've come.
Yeah, that was what was the joke that she said?
She was talking about how like she was flirting with someone at the grocery store, drugstore, and said it was a her. And she was like, oh, how far we've come.
Lesbian hilarity.
Yeah, gosh. There is a line coming up where one of the characters says, there's nothing funny about being a lesbian to Lorelai.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Oh, and then the other thing I wanted to play was the maniacal laughter when Tobin says,
let's let the dry cleaners drum up their own business, huh?
You don't like Tobin.
He just strikes me as the kind of person where if we discover three episodes later that he is secretly a murderer, I'd be like, no, yeah, of course.
But I think he's so cute and funny.
Why does he?
And I like that actor a lot.
Did you realize that he goes like, I'm so sorry about the inn burning down. Here's a candle. Like, that's the gift he gives.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
In my head, it was just like, Tobin, think a little.
Tobin,
present
chill
the jacket
out.
First, okay? Then maybe when they fixed it, go to a candle.
You want me to light this?
That's where I parked it.
That's where I parked it.
Ladies, I know Jess doesn't do anything explicitly offensive or jerky in this episode, but I find him unpleasant nonetheless. Sorry. Oh, do we say yes to the Jess in this episode?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
I will say I'm more ambivalent than usual to the Jess in this episode.
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything, like, hurtful.
Say guess to the Jess.
Say guess? Guess who to the Jess who? Guess who? Matt Gibson asks, did you feel ripped off that we saw all of the planning for Lorelai's party but didn't get to see the party itself? And my answer to that is no, because I feel like that's what the show does all the time. It revolves around an event or something happening or a thing. Like Lorelai's bad date with Don Draper or whatever it may be. And then it happens off. And I think it's a feature, not a bug. Like it truly is one of those things where the conversations around it, I think other shows would show the thing. Oh, let's show the party. Let's show blah, blah,
and really,
blah.
You just want to see the scale of it. Like, I don't care about going in and seeing all the townies be like, hey, well, happy birthday. Yay.
Right. Where did they get that? What did they use to drop the pizza in there?
A crane.
It was a crane?
Yeah.
Was it a Fraser crane?
Where do they pick up?
Good God, Niles, this pizza.
Tossed salad and giant pizzas.
Good night, Stars Hollow.
Where did they get the pizza? Where are they lifting it from?
I don't know. Yeah, was it, did they put it on the crane outside of Pete's? And then, I don't know. You know, this show is like Lost in that it raises more questions than it ever answers.
And also, it's not Penny's boat.
Penny. You know, fun fact, Desmond actually wasn't talking about his girlfriend. He was just describing his favorite pasta.
I'll see you in another life, brother.
See you in another life, brother. Crikey. That's an old knife, Master Wayne.
Oh, boy.
Any stray observations? Oh, we had a black waitress at the place where Lorelai and Richard met up.
Oh, yeah. Let's up the black count.
It's finally the first person in the show that's black. The only one.
The only one.
Yep.
Not Michelle.
No one else. Not especially not Michelle.
And there's three periods in hockey, and a face-off means nothing when it comes to hockey.
And also, it's Deuce.
Deucey. Taylor Steve Deucey. Let's rate the episode. I really enjoyed it. Maybe unlike you, I actually liked the money conflict at the end. I thought all the towny stuff and all the business with the different foods and getting stuff ready was very fun and interesting to watch. And it was fun. You know, it was fun. It was fun watching Rory get fed up with Joe, Kirk, and Pete at the pizza scene. I just think it's pretty adorable when she's like, let me tell you how it's going to go, mister, you know, yeah. And she's like telling it like it is or trying to. I think it's fun to watch. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 cheese burns.
I like this episode. I think it was a bit weak in the Richard, Emily, Lorelai story, but I think that feels it was weak in the sense that it felt like it was leading into a greater story arc of multiple episodes. Sure. The birthday stuff, great, flawless. Loved all the little joke bits in there. I really loved all of the birthday stuff, which was the main parts of the episode, so yeah. I can't rate this.
The deep dish of the episode.
It really was the deep dish. Mm-hmm. It was the Chicago style.
Hey, we're in Chicago.
I am going to say that this episode gets a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10. God, what is the thing that happens?
So what's a thing that happens?
What's this episode? What happens?
You could say Malamars. You could say
7 out of 10 spoons in the drain.
Okay.
Spoons in the disposal.
If you know what I mean.
Dirty. I do.
Dirty.
Dirty. All right. Well, it's now time for where you tweet. I will follow.
Where you follow me on the web, gang. Just Google my name.
Yeah, Google it.
Just Google it and click on every link. And just be like, yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I want to consume some content. Do you feel me?
Y'all feel me?
Y'all feeling me?
Hi.
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 God. Oh, God. Hi. Oh, God.
Play that in conjunction with the, oh, boy.
So it goes from,
God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Feels right.
Beautiful. I love it.
Feels good. Follow me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'm in your town, in your neighborhood, on my way to steal your squirrel.
Oh!
A suppressive person in the Church of Scientology, perhaps?
What a twist at the end of that sentence. My name's Dim. You can catch my new documentary, Going Clear. I star as...
The Church.
The Church. Just really want to tell everybody about Scientology. Yo, I think it's a rad thing. I think, you know, you get all these levels, and if you get to the real high levels, that's when you get the real cool shit. So, you know.
Big stars holla to Xenu.
Big stars holla to Xenu. Big ups to my man, LRH. You are gone but not forgotten.
Pour one out for LRH.
Pour one out, but don't drink it. It's against the rules.
Who spent the rest of his life evading taxes.
No tax for the rich.
No.
This got out of hand. As someone asked today, I think it was Carissa even asked today, like, are you worried that people are going to think that this is a real thing for Scientology? And sometimes I am. So I'll just say, we're not pro-Scientology.
We're go-Scientology.
Okay. No.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us again, Gillies. Well,
yeah, thank you for making it through.
Man, we're so close to the end of season 3. How does it feel?
It feels
like... In the words of Bob Dylan.
Huh?
In the words
How does it feel?
How does it feel?
Feels like a Rolling Stone, my man. It's rolling along.
It feels like a... Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
It feels like Lay Lady Lay to me.
The times they are changing.
Subterranean homesick blues.
Come gather round, Gillies, wherever you roam. And admit that the Gilmore girls, they have grown
Where?
For... Okay.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Gilmore Guys.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are falling. Where you lead, I will follow.
Mercy.
Oh, my God.
Anywhere that you tell me to.
Where you lead, I will follow. But I don't know what to do about those girl more girls and Stars Hollow.
They're calling again.
Luke's pancakes all over my face.
Oh my
what
God.
Is a board to do?
Who is this, Kelsey Grammer?
Oh yeah,
Boss himself.
Talk about proper grammar. Am I right?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Hit it. Hit it.
We're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo choo.
Where you lead.
Yeah.
I will follow.
Where?
Anywhere.
That I tell you to?
That you tell me to.
Okay.
If you need.
You need me to be with you.
I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh.
Where you lead.
I love Fraser laughing.
I will follow. Anywhere. That you tell me to. If you need. Need me to be with you. I will follow where you lead.
Frasier laughs like they just told him they had to foreclose on like a factory that makes children's housewares or something.
I'm a whore.
Goodbye.